All right, Jabal Sai, good morning. A lot to do today. These dapim are mamish. Good, but tomorrow already it changes a little bit. It gets a little bit smaller. But good, keep us on our toes. I'm sorry? Holiday weekend coming in. Mirat Hashem. Good, Jabal Sai, today's daf is daf Zayin. We are picking up on Vav Amud Beis. And we are picking up at the two dots, the Hasach B'Shemen HaMishcha. One who goes ahead and literally anoints himself or shmears on himself. Shemen HaMishcha anointing oil. Our shiurim this month are dedicated by Yonah and Shoshi Ehrenfeld in memory of Yonah's grandfather, Joseph Ehrenfeld, Yosef ben Shmuel Zichron Levracha. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, the Neshama will have an aliyah and the family a Nechama. And we'll see with that, let's begin. Vasach b'shemen ha-mishcha, Tan Rabbanon. Hasach b'shemen ha-mishcha, lebehema v'keilin potter, lo'avdi kochavim ulemesim potter. Interesting case. If somebody rubs shemen ha-mishcha on an animal or on utensils, he is potter. On a Gentile or on a corpse, he is potter as well. Bishtama behema v'keilim dichsev abbasra adam lo yisach. Ubehema v'keilim lav adam. So by an animal and by utensils, I understand, because the pasuk says what? Adam. On a person, you're not supposed to shmear the oil. And obviously a behema and kelim are not a person. The Gemara says, Mesim nami pater, decheva nemisu mesmikri v'lav adam. A corpse, I also understand why, because once a person is dead, he's called a corpse, and he's not called an adam. But why would I be pater for shmearing the shemana mishcha on an akum? Is that not a misuse of shemana mishcha on an adam? So the Gemara says, ha adam ninu, so loy dichsiv va'aten soni, son mari si adam atem. So we'll say the Gemara quotes the pasuk. Quotes the pasuk from Yecheskel, because Baruch Hu says to Klal Yisrael, you are my tzon, you are my sheep, the sheep of my pasture, you are Adam. Atem kruin Adam, vein ovdin kochavim kruin Adam. So the redaction from here, that a Jew is called Adam, an Akum is not called an Adam. I will say, what does that mean? That an Akum is not a human being? No, but what it means is that we see from this pasuk that Adam doesn't just mean a human being. That Adam refers to a Jew. We thought Adam is just a generic term that just means all humanity. We see from here that Adam dafka refers to a Jew. But one second, that's not true. V'haksev v'nefesh Adam shisha asar elef. We'll say this is by the spoils of Midian. So by the spoils of Midian, it speaks about the fact that they took captive 16,000 people, and you see when referring to the prisoners of Midian, it refers to them as Adam. That's because it's to exclude behemoths. In other words, the Torah is making two different tallies of animals that they were able to get, capture, and people. So in order to differentiate between human beings and animals, the Torah used the word Adam. But under different circumstances, Adam dafka refers to Jews and not to non-Jews. What's about the end of Sefer Yonah? End of Sefer Yonah, where Kadosh Baruch Hu justifies forgiving Nineveh, because he says to Yonah, look at all of the people who live in the city. And he uses the word Adam. So, la'afuke behema, to which the Gemara says, once again, Adam there is used to exclude behema. Viba yisema kidikitani tana kamed rabbi lazar. Koshi yeshno says, we'll say, so therefore again, first possibility as to why an akum is not subject to the prohibition of being smeared with shemen ha-mishcha is because the Torah only prohibits Adam, and akum is excluded from Adam. Fine. Second possibility, iba yisema kidikitani tana kamed rabbi lazar. Koshi yeshno besach, yeshno la yisach. So the other possibility is, whoever is subject to the prohibition of anointing himself is also subject to the prohibition of being anointed. I'm using the word anointed, but it's not really anointed. It's really smeared, right? Whoever is bound by the prohibition to smear Shemen HaMishcha on himself, ultimately, again, is prohibited to have the Shemen HaMishcha smeared on him. An Akum obviously doesn't have a prohibition of smearing Shemen HaMishcha on himself because that's part of the Torah. An Akum is not subject. So because he's not subject to the Halacha, he's also not subject to being smeared on. Another brisa. This brisa says, one who smears Shemen HaMishcha on an animal, utensils, of the kochavim, the corpse, is pater. What about if you smear Shemen HaMishcha on kings and on kohanim. Now, what does that mean? Rashi points out over here, la'achar shenim shechu. This is talking about a case where what? The particular kohen or the particular melech was already anointed. Already anointed. What happens if you shmir shemen ha-mishcha on a kohen or on a melech who was already anointed? Is there a prohibition under those circumstances or not? Rabbi Meir mechayiv. Rabbi Meir says you are chayiv. Rabbi Huda poter. Rabbi Huda says you are potter. V'kama yisuch v'hei chayiv. And how much do you have to shmir of shemen ha-mishcha in order to be chayiv? Rabbi Meir amar kosher. Rabbi Meir says any amount. Rabbi Huda omer kizayis. Rabbi Huda says a kizayis. V'am Rabbi Huda poter. But 1 second. Rabbi Huda just said that you're potter. Ki potter Rabbi Huda l'gabi malachim v'kohanim. When Rabbi Huda said that you're potter, he means that if you re-shmir a kohen or a king who has already been anointed, you're potter for that use of Shemana Mishcha. But ultimately, again, gabi hedyot mechayiv. But ultimately, again, by a regular person, you would be chayiv for that use of Shemana Mishcha. And then Rabbi Huda says, how much would you be chayiv? How much Shemana Mishcha would you have to use in order to be chayiv? A kezayis. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Huda, Rabbi Melachah B'Kohanim, Gabi Hedyot Mechayiv. Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Huda, B'mat Pligi. So we'll say, what are Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Huda arguing about? I'm Rabbi Yosef B'Hal Pligi. Rabbi Meir Savar, Abbasar Adam Lo Yisach. The Pasuk says that when it comes to Shemana Mishcha, you may not shmir it on the flesh of a person. V'ksev V'asher Yitin Mimenu Al Zar. And the Pasuk says, if you place it on the flesh of a Zar, so the Gemara says, Masicha Kol Shehu, just like anointing, we'll say, that Lashon is any amount. After Sina Kol Shehu, so to the Lashon of Yitin also means the use of any amount of Shemana Mishcha. Rabbi Huda Savar Yafino Nesina Da'al Zar, Minesina Da'alma. Rabbi Huda says we learn out this Nesina, which refers to the placement of Shemana Mishcha on the flesh of a Zar, from the use of Nesina in other contexts. Ma Nesina, specifically the Gemara is talking about over here, V'ish ki yochal kodesh b'shkaga, V'yosef chamishi su'alav v'nasan l'koines ha-kodesh. So I will say specifically this is referring to if a person illegally consumes some of the matnos kuhuna. So what the halacha is over there? Manasina da alma kizayis. Just like over there, we'll say that lashon of nesina, which is by consumption, refers to a kizayis. Af nesina da alzar kizayis. So to the nesina of Shemana Mishcha also refers to kizayis. Aval sicha lemimshach melachim kohanim. But we'll say when it comes to the use of anointing oil for kohanim and melachim, divri akol kol shu. Everyone agrees. Any amount of Shemana Mishcha is sufficient. From Rav Yosef, B'mar Pligi, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Huda, Gabi Melachim, Kohanim. And Rav Yosef says as follows, that ultimately, again, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Huda, what are they arguing about when it comes to Kohanim Melachim? Rabbi Meir, Savar, V'asher Yit, so we'll say, remember again, so Machlokis number one is about, everyone will agree that the use of Shemana Mishcha on a non-coin, on a Zar, right, or on a non-Melech, is illegal. Machlokis number one is how much of Shemana Mishcha do you have to use in order to be chayiv? So Machlokis, one opinion says kol shehu, one opinion says a kizayis. That's Machlokis number one. Machlokis number two is what happens if you put Shemana Mishcha on a kohen gadol or on a melech who has already been anointed. Right? So Machlokis, one opinion says that you're chayiv for that, one opinion says you're potter. So the Gemara says, what's at the root of that Machlokis? See, here we go. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Meir Sabar, V'asher Yitimenu Azar, Uksiv, Umelech, Ukoin, Hashta Zarim Ninhu. So I'll say ultimately again, Rabbi Meir will say like this. The Pasuk says that you are Chayiv for illegal use of Shana Mishka if you put it on a Zar. Well, guess what? After the Kohen and the Melech have been anointed, they effectively become like what? They become like a Zar. In other words, once they've been anointed, they really don't have any further shaychas with the Shemana Mishcha, and therefore they are like a zar. Therefore, you be chayiv. Rabbi Huda said, "Rabbi Inan ad diika zar mitchilasa va'ad sofo." Rabbi Huda, on the other hand, says you're only considered a zar if what? If you're a zar from beginning to end, because the melech and the kohen were not a zar at the beginning. Therefore, again, even though they've been anointed, and obviously we're not encouraging the use of the Shemana Mishcha a second time, but nevertheless, you will not be chayiv for that. So the Gemara says, "Zar mitzvah v'atzofu." Melech haKohen mikar lav zarimu, and a king and a kohen ultimately, again from the beginning, they are not zarim. So Amrav Ika b'reid Rav Ami v'azlo tamayu. They both, according to their reasoning, the sanya top of Zayin, bas kohen shenisays liyisra va'achla b'truma. So let's listen to this. If a Bas Kohen marries a Yisrael and then she eats Truma, the Bas, remember, again, illegal, right? A Bas Kohen who marries a Yisrael loses the right to consume Truma. So what happens if she does? What's Talacha? Mishtalemes as a Karen, ve'ino mishtalemes as a Chomesh. This is actually very interesting. She only has to pay the principal, but she does not have to pay the penalty fifth. Very interesting. Furthermore, again, umisasa bistreifa. And if she is put to death, she's put to death bistreifa, which is what? Which is the unique misa reserved for a bas kohen. Look at Rashi, which is a moment, Rashi on the right side. So the Gemara says, why doesn't she pay the fifth? The lav zorahi, shaylonis chalala shim yamos baila vatinasi lekoin ocheles, oim ein zera in la hadra latruma. So we'll say it's actually very interesting. Because what's the halacha with this lady? So remember, if her husband dies, if she gets divorced, or she has no children, what happens? She goes back to her father's home, and she is permitted to eat truma. So what do you see from here? You see from here that people don't lose their original status. They don't lose their original status. So the Gemara says, however, niseis le'echa min apsulim. What happens if she marries someone who she's not allowed to marry? She marries a mamzer, right? I don't mean that like in a descriptive term. I mean that like in a halachic term, right? She marries a mamzer. So what happens? Niseis le'echa min apsulin, mishalemes karen mechomer. So we'll say now, interestingly enough, once she marries a mamzer, what's the halacha? Even if her husband dies and leaves her without children, she cannot eat truma again. In that case, mishalemes karen mechomesh, if she consumes truma, she'll pay the principal and the additional fifth, umisasa bechenek. And if she's executed for something, she'll receive an execution like a regular woman. Dear Rabbi Meir. So both say, you see something very interesting, which is that according to Rabbi Meir, ultimately, again, he looks at really focusing on this second case. In other words, once you lose your status, you lose your status. And therefore, again, we'll say what this is really being compared to is what? Is the same way, just like a Bas Kohen, if she marries someone who's pasul, she loses her status as a Bas Kohen and moves forward. So Sotar Meir will say, once a Kohen or a king were anointed, they're done. Right? The anointing parsha is over. And therefore, if you were to go ahead and anoint them again, they're no different than a zar. So the Gemara goes right. V'cham d'cham say, echad zev, achazu v'achazu, mishalem ha-sakar, v'inu mishalem ha-sasachomesh. So ultimately, the Chum say, in all of these cases, no matter who the Bas Kohen marries, whether it's someone who's kosher, someone who's pasul, if she eats truma, she only pays the principal, does not pay the chomesh, and furthermore, again, her death penalty is always bisreifa. Amar Rav Yosef, machlokes b'nesinas shemen ha-mishcha u'b'shenuye d'shaninon. Aval nesina da'alma divrei ha-kol kizayis. So what I say, the Gemara says, Rav Yosef says, that ultimately, again, the machlokes between Rav Meir and Rabbi Yehuda are as stated before, but everyone agrees, he posits that everyone agrees, that when it comes to illegal use of shemen ha-mishcha on a zar, ultimately what? Everyone agrees that is in the amount of a kizayis. Good. So Gufa, also let's analyze this. Gufa, Tani Tana Kamei Drabi Elazar. Koshi Yeshno B'saks, was I going back a little bit. So remember, the Gemara posited that one of the reasons that an akum is not chayiv, you're not chayiv for smearing an akum with Shemen HaMishcha, is because anyone who's not subject to the prohibition of smearing themselves with Shemen HaMishcha is not chayiv if they are smeared with Shemen HaMishcha. So the Gemara says, Baba Koshi Yeshno B'sach, Yeshno Ba Yisach, V'Koshi Eino B'sach, Eino Ba Yisach. Right, so Amr Lei, Shapir Ka'amrit, so he said that is a good drasha, meaning whoever is chayiv, ultimately, again, in anointing, is chayiv if they are smeared. And whoever is not chayiv for smearing themselves is not chayiv if they are smeared. So Amr Lei, Shapir Ka'amrit, good drasha, Lo Yisach Ksiv, V'Kari Lo Yasich. So ultimately, again, we will say those different Lashonos, right, Yisach and Yasich could be read as, interpreted as, rubbing oil on oneself versus rubbing oil on someone else. Tani Rav Chananya Kamei D'Rava. Minayin L'Kohen Gadol Shenatol Mishamen HaMishcha Sha'arosho V'Nasan Abnei Me'av Minayin Shu Chayer. What's an interesting case? How do I know that the Kohen Gadol, who went ahead and took Shemen HaMishcha from his head, and then he rubbed it on his stomach, Figured, you know what, the Shema Mishcha is nice. It's already on my head. Why should it go to waste? Yeah, he rubs it into his skin. I don't know that he's chayav for that. Shenemar, al basra adam lo yisach. But Pasuk says, you shall not go ahead and rub it into your flesh. Okay, Amrli Rabacha Bredi Ravashi. Mashkami had the sign. I'll say, why is this different than the following case? The sign, a kohen shesach b'sheman shel truma. If a kohen rubbed himself with oil of truma, ben bito yisam is agel alav. Literally, again, his grandson could roll around on him. Veino choshesh, and he don't have to be choshesh. In other words, what does this mean? So let's say a kohen, right? Zayd the kohen rubbed truma. I'll say, to give you a very simple example of this, right? Goes ahead and puts oil of truma on his hands. Totally permitted, right? Then what happens? He has a grandson. His daughter married out, right? His daughter married a Yisrael. So what happens? Now he has a grandson who's a Yisrael. So what happens? He wants to pick up his grandson. What's going to happen when he picks up his grandson? The oil is going to get all over his grandson, right? And the grandson who's a Yisrael is going to benefit from Truma oil, yet that is permitted. So we'll say, so you understand what's happening? If a kohen takes Shemen HaMishcha from his head and rubs it on his stomach, he's chayiv for that. But yet, by Shemen Shal Truma, if he takes the Shemen Shal Truma on his hands and he rubs his grandson's face and some of the oil gets on the grandson's face, that's okay. Why the difference? So the Gemara says, Amar lehasam umesu bo ki chaluksiv, kevan dechalale ha'ischil. Aval gabi Shemen HaMishcha ksiv, Kinezer Elokov, Alov Shem and Mishcha, Kari Rachmano, Dafa Gav, the Isi Alov, Lo Ischa. I'll say fundamental difference. Truma, once a coin utilizes it in a normative fashion, it's no longer Truma. It's just regular, stuff. In other words, once the coin uses that oil, it no longer has a status of Truma. Shem and Mishcha, even after it's been applied to the coin and to the king, still has the status of Shemen HaMishcha. That's the fundamental difference. So Shemen HaMishcha, even after it's been anointed, it's still Shemen HaMishcha. Therefore, the coin can't take it from his head and rub it on his stomach. Truma, on the other hand, once the coin uses it in a normative fashion, it's no longer called Truma. It's just called what? Just called oil. And therefore, ultimately, again, even if he rubs it on his grandson, it's totally fine. Beautiful. Alilu chayavin azdono. Katani chutzin yutame kodesh v'kadosh. So let's remember again, the way the Mishnah ended off is, the Mishnah gave a list and said as follows. Al elu chayavin azdono kareis val shirgos v'chatas. And all the items listed in the Mishnah, for intentional violation, you're chayav kareis, and for accidental violation of chatos, v'alo holda shalohem asham talui. And I will say again, any situation where you're not sure what you did, you bring in asham talui. Chutz min ametame mikdash vekadashav. Except if someone goes ahead and is metame the beis hamikdash or consecrated items, because in that case he brings an ola v'yored. So the Gemara says, "Katani chutz mitami mikdash v'kadashav." So except for one who defiles the mikdash and consecrated items. So mimai mafikle, what exactly are we exempting him from? So halchi katani, this is what it means to say, chutz mitami mikdash v'kadashav, with the exception of one who defiles the mikdash, also, which means one who walks into the beis hamikdash tamei v'kadashav, or ones who defiles consecrated things, she'ein mevi asham talui. Such a person does not bring an asham talui. Rashi says, she'ein mevi asham talui, she'ein asham talui ba ela asafik chatas kavua. Because you also remember again, asham talui only comes, asham talui, we'll discuss this in greater depth, is brought in a situation where you're not sure if you did something prohibited or not. But asham talui is only brought in a situation where had you known for sure that you had violated, albeit accidentally, you would have brought a chatos, right? So in other words, asham talui is the doubtful sister of chatos. Chatos is, I know that I definitely did something wrong by accident. Asham talui is, I'm not sure. I may have done something. So the Gemara is suggesting over here that when the Mishnah says chutz mitame kadosh v'kadosh, it means that if you're not sure if you entered into the Beis HaMikdash in a state of Tumah, or if you consume something in a state of Tumah, you do not bring in Ashan Talui. Why not? Because even if I accidentally did any of these things, I wouldn't bring a Chatos. If I don't bring a Chatos, I don't bring in Ashan Talui. V'nisni nami chutz mimisha avra alav Yom Kippur. I'm about to say Yom Kippur. Mamish a few days after Chodesh Elul, word prayer for Yom Kippur. Incredible. Aye, but why don't you include over here, listen to this. Someone, Bosa, this is an incredible halacha. Also excluded from an Asham Talo Yesu, someone who went through a Yom Kippur, She'ein Mevi Asham Talo. Bosa, this is a dramatic halacha. That if you have an Asham Talo situation, Yom Kippur remedies your Asham Taloi situation. In other words, Yom Kippur is Mechaper, and if you don't bring your Asham Taloi before Yom Kippur, you do not have to bring it after Yom Kippur. As Yom Kippur wipes out the liability. Incredible. Amrei Shlakish, Kikatani Hecha de Isi Lechata, V'rachmana Patre. No, we're only talking about cases where there was a Chatas obligation, and the Torah exempts you from Chatas. Avral of Yom Kippur and Leisei Lechata. But ultimately, again, by the chait, by this case of somebody who had a doubtful liability and Yom Kippur came along, there Yom Kippur wipes out the entire liability. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan Amar, b'mevait. What are we talking about over here? We're talking about someone who rejects the atonement abilities of Yom Kippur. Mevait literally means kicks. Someone who rejects the atonement ability of Yom Kippur. We'll say, so for such a person like this who says Yom Kippur is not Mechaper, we'll say, listen to this dramatic case. So here's what we have so far. If I did something, and I come in an Avera, and I'm not sure, and what happens? I'm not sure, but let me say it differently. I may have committed an Avera. The type of Avera, where had I known for sure that I did it, accidentally, I'd bring a chatos. Now I'm not sure if I did it at all. So what's my liability? Asham Taloi. So we'll say, if let's say again, I don't bring the Asham Taloi. If Yom Kippur comes along, Yom Kippur wipes out that liability. Now we assume, when does Yom Kippur wipe out Asham Taloi liability? If you believe in the atonement power of Yom Kippur. What happens if somebody's a shtickle Yom Kippur apikores? I don't believe in the atonement ability of Yom Kippur. So what happens in that case, I will say? So if a person rejects the atonement ability of Yom Kippur, and then after Yom Kippur they do tshuva, and they once again believe in Yom Kippur, what's talacha? Boi la suye asham taloi. Then you have to bring your asham taloi. As I will say, dramatically enough, Yom Kippur only wipes out your asham taloi liability when? If you believe in Yom Kippur. If you don't believe in Yom Kippur, it doesn't wipe it out. Reish Lakish, Reish Lakish holds, Mevait nami mechaper li Yom Kippur. I both say, get ready for this. Reish Lakish holds that Yom Kippur is so strong that even if you reject, even if you say, I don't believe in Yom Kippur will still atone for you. Even if you don't love Yom Kippur loves you, says Reish Lakish. Right, you say, I don't care about Yom Kippur, it's not going to do it. No, Yom Kippur slow tones. The Rebbe said, now, this is a dramatic machlokis. Get ready for this. Ubiplugta. Here we go. Ha'omer lo yizkar li chatosi. Rebbe said, so watch this. We're not finishing Yom Kippur. Stam kesi chatos. Person says, my chatos shouldn't atone for me. So Rebbe said, so, okay, that's interesting. And then I bring it. Right, so it says, the Gemara, Abai Amar Enam Mechaber. So Abai said, listen, if you say, second wide line, Zayin Amad Aleph. If you say that halacha lemaisa, your chata shouldn't atone for you, then guess what? It doesn't atone for you. Rav Amar mechaperes. Rav says no, it does atone. So what's going on over here? Hecha da Amar lo tikarev. So we'll say if a person says, I don't want this chatas offered for me. Person says, don't offer it, and somebody ends up offering it. To kuli amalo pligidol mechaperes. So we'll say under those circumstances, the chatas of course does not atone. Why? Tichsiv. Yakrivo so lirtsono, because it will say obviously there's no such thing as a carbon being offered up bal karcho. So if you're not willing to offer up the carbon, even if somebody offers it up on your behalf, right? Halacha lemaisa doesn't atone. Where does the machlokas come up? This is dramatically amazing. Ki pligi damerti kariv velo sichaper. Wow, a person says, let my chatas be offered, but I don't want it to atone for me. I don't want it to atone for me. Right? So we'll say, so by the way, you have to understand, it sounds crazy, right? You're offering it, but you want it to atone. But we'll say, you understand, like, this is my sin b'chol yom. People get angry at things, and when people get angry and do things out of anger, we do many, many, many counterintuitive things. Things, right, that you look at and say, that makes absolutely no sense. Right? So we'll say, so again, this guy's, he's braggish, whatever the reason. Fine. Offer up the chatos, but it shouldn't be mechaper for me. Says the Gemara, Abai Amar in Mechaperes. Darma Los Chaper. Abai says, listen, if you say it shouldn't atone for you, it's not going to atone for you. Rava Amar Mechaperes. Rava says it does atone for you. Kevan Damar Tikarev, Kaparam Amelas. Essentially, once you signal your willingness to offer it, kind of the rest goes on carbonic autopilot. Once you consent to the offering, ultimately, again, the Kapara comes from that. Vahadar Be Rava. Now, I will say, interestingly enough, Rava retracted this position, right? How do we know this? We will say, get ready for this. Kidisanya, yachol yehi yom kippur mechaper al shan da al shein shavin. So say, I'm going to thought Yom Kippur should be mechaper for everyone, whether you did tshuva or you didn't do tshuva. And I can make a good kal v'chomer. What's the kal v'chomer? V'dinu umay chatas va'ashem mechaperim v'yom kippur mechaper chatas and Hashem provided atonement. Yom Kippur provides atonement. Ma chatas va'ashem in mechaperin ela ala shavin. Just like Chatas and Asher will say, only provide atonement if what? If a person does tshuva. So af Yom Kippur in mechaper ela ala shavin. So to Yom Kippur should only atone for those who do tshuva. To which the Gemara says, lo. Emarmet bechatas v'atam shem mechaper ala mezi kishogi. I'll tell you why the comparison is not good. Why not? Because Chatas and Asher are only mechaper for what Rabbo say? Are only mechaper for shogi. Right, remember again, you can't bring, we don't bring a chatas and an asham for mezid. If you do something intentionally, there's no karbanic kapara under those circumstances. Tarn b'yom kippurim, shem mechaper ala mezid kishogeg. Yet Rabbi say, Yom Kippur can accomplish what any chatas and asham cannot. Because chatas and asham can be mechaper for shogeg. Yom Kippur could even be mechaper for mezid. Right? Hoyo b'mechaper ala mezid kishogeg. Mechaper ala shavim v'sha'al shenu shavim. So if Yom Kippur can be mechaper for a mezid, just like a shogeg, so ultimately, again, a Yom Kippur should be mechaper even for people who don't do tshuva. Talmud lomar, ach. Therefore, the pasuk by Yom Kippur says, ach. And what does ach teach me? Chilek. Ach teaches me that Yom Kippur creates kapara ultimately for some, but not for all. Who does it create kapara for? For those who do tshuva, but not for those who do not. My shavin v'she'in on shavin. I will say, what does it mean people who do tshuva don't do tshuva? Get ready for this. Ilema shavin shogeg lo shavin mezid. If you want to say those who do tshuva means those who did it b'shogeg, those who didn't do tshuva means mezid. Hakatani im amrit b'chatas v'asham. That can't be, because chatas and asham aren't mechaper for mezid. Elo ki hadu ula amra b'yochanan. Achol chela v'hifrish karban. Well, listen to this interesting case. If a person ate chela, a person ate forbidden fat, and then they were mafresh a karban. Okay, I did something wrong. I separated out a karban. V'hemir daito. Then I became an apikoris. V'chazerba. Then I did shuva. It's a busy day. Right? Then I did shuva. Right? So we'll say, now, interestingly enough, now what happened over here? I became an apikoris after I separated the karban, but before I offered it up. Before I offered it up. So what's the halacha in that case? Rabbi say you cannot offer up the carbon of an apikoris. And therefore, again, that carbon is essentially unusable. Unusable, since it was the carbon of an apikoris, even now, Baruch Hashem, I did tshuva, and I'm no longer an apikoris, once the carbon is set aside for non-use, it is no longer usable. So the Gemara says, nehi de'itchi carbon. While it is true that a carbon ultimately is set aside, I must listen to these words, gavra bar kaparahu, right? They both say, only carbonos are forever set aside for non-use. Gavra, a person is never nitcha. Right? So hear this, a person is never nitcha. Right? The person, you can become the biggest apikoris in the world. Biggest apikoris in the world. If you choose to do tshuva, there's no such thing as hoil v'nitcha yidcha. Only carbonos. So the Gemara says, Ella, so what does shavin mean? Ella shavin, damar yechaper alai chatasi. She'in shavin, damar lo sechaper alai chatasi. They will say, rather what? You have to say that what? That shavin means, a person says, my carbon should be mechaper for me. And she'in shavin means that a person says, my carbon should not be mechaper for me. To which the Gemara says, shmamina. So we'll say, the point over here is, you see from here, that Allah alamaysa, that Rava changed his position. Rava originally said that when it comes to a chatas, if a person just says, offer it up, Even if he says it shouldn't be mechaper, Rava says it's mechaper. From this exchange, you see that that is incorrect. And even Rava retracted that and said, halacha l'maisa, if a person says my carbon shouldn't be mechaper, then what? It's not mechaper. In order for the chatas to be mechaper, a person has to not only be not willing to offer it, but a person has to want the kapara properties. If you don't want the kapara properties, the carbon does not work. So we'll say, here we go. Now a little bit about Yom Kippur. Or minhi, yachalo yeh yom kibur mechaper al ela al shenis anebo. I'm sorry. Let me read that again. Yachalo yeh yom kibur mechaper da amr ela al shenis anebo for the asaba malacha vikara mikra kodesh. Rabbi say, I'm going to thought that yom kippur is only mechaper if what? If you fasted, didn't do malacha, and sanctified it appropriately. In other words, I would have thought that yom kippur only atones if you observed yom kippur appropriately. Get ready for this. Lonis anebo, v'asabo melacha, v'lo kara mikra kodesh, yachal lo yehe yom kippurim mechaper, tamud lomar, yom kippurim hu mikol makom. Wow. How do I know that even if I ate on Yom Kippur, did melacha on Yom Kippur, treated it like a regular Tuesday, that it still goes ahead and is mechaper for me? Pasuk says, yom kippurim hu. It's Yom Kippur, right? Right? What's that? Do you hear this? Do you hear this? Absolutely wild. I'm eating on Yom Kippur. I'm doing malach. Now, by the way, it's mechaper. I'm chayiv misa. But it is mechaper, right? I'm chayiv misa. I'm chayiv kares, right? So it's not good. But nevertheless, again, we'll discuss what this means, that Yom Kippur is so powerful that even if I'm eating on Yom Kippur, doing malacha on Yom Kippur, treating it like the weekdays, Shabbat weekdays, l'maisa, it's still mechaper. Yom Kippur hu, v'tarvayu stam sifru hu v'kashin adalim. Well, now here's the problem. The problem is we now have two contradictory statements, and both of them, Rabbi Osai, are stam mishnayos. As Rabbi Osai, we have two conflicting statements about the power of Yom Kippur. Right? The earlier Brisa said Yom Kippur only works if what? If what? If you utilize it properly. This price clearly indicates that Yom Kippur works even if you do absolute, not only doing nothing, but what? Mamish actively doing things wrong. So the Gemara says it's a kasha. It's a kasha. It's a fundamental kasha about the identity of Yom Kippur. Amra Abayi lo kasha. Pais is not a kasha. Ha Rebbe Aliba de Rebbe Huda. Ha Rebbe Aliba de Dei. Both say the two brises reflect two different versions of Yom Kippur. One is according to Rebbe, and one is according to Rebbe Huda. Disani Rebbe Omer. Kala Veder Shabbat Torah Ben Asa Tshuva Ben Allah Asa Tshuva. Here we go, both say. Per Rebbe says like this. Any Aveder in the Torah, whether you did Tshuva, didn't do Tshuva, Yom Kippur mechaper. Yom Kippur is mechaper for you, with certain exceptions. Chutz mi porikol. Rabbi say porikol refers to someone who literally casts off the yoke of mitzvos. Right? I don't observe anything. I'm not bound by anything. You reject the mitzvos. Megale panim b'torah. So it's actually very interesting. Megale panim b'torah, Rashi says over here, is doresh ba'agados shel dofi. You make stuff up. You make stuff up about Torah. Which also means a person, which I will say is actually, it sounds a little crazy, but we kind of do this pretty often, where we create our own Torah or halachic narratives to go ahead and justify things that we do. That's Megala Parim Batorah. Let's say we all make mistakes. The worst thing in life is when a person justifies their mistakes by creating alternate realities. I'm living on the wrong side of the law. No one's perfect. Okay, except the fact that I'm doing an Aveira. But to create new hashkafas, new ideologies, or new this to justify things that are just incorrect, that's called Megala Panim B'Torah. So Mefer Brisobosa, which by the way is such an incredible yisod. See, HaKadosh Baruch Hu could handle any Aveira we do, because He created us. He knows we're weak. What He can't tolerate is disingenuousness. Is that a word? Disingenuousness and sheker. That leave me alone. Don't. You want to do something because you want to do something. Fine, do it. But at least recognize that it's not right to justify something that you know is not correct. But somehow you're creating this whole intellectual framework around it that says that it's okay. Shmuel says that I can't deal with people who aren't emistic. Incredible. So the Gemara says umefer bris basar, someone who tries to hide his bris milah. Shim asa tshuva. Because also in all of these cases, even if a person did tshuva, Yom Kippur mechaper. I'm sorry. V'shem asa tshuva yom kippur mechaper ve'im lav in yom kippur mechaper. So we'll say, so in general, Yom Kippur has the ability to be mechaper for any avera. With these big ones, Yom Kippur is only mechaper if what? If what? If you do tshuva. If you don't do tshuva, these are too big for Yom Kippur to be mechaper on their own. So Rava Amar, Rava says, Hava ha Rebbe, Aliba din Avshe, Umod de Rebbe ba'averos di Yom Kippurim gufei de lo mechaper. So we'll say, so possibility one could be that really Rebbe's just referring, the Gemara is referring to two different aspects of Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur in general has the ability to mechaper for all mitzvos, all averos, with the exception of certain big ones, where Yom Kippur by itself cannot be mechaper. Only Yom Kippur together with tshuva is mechaper. That's possibility one. Possibility two is, listen to this. Yom Kippur can be mechaper for anything. For anything. Big averos, small averos, you did do tshuva, you didn't do tshuva. So the Braisa says that Yom Kippur is only... When the Gemara says that Yom Kippur, ultimately, again, is not mechaper, what are we talking about over here? Listen to this. Mod Rebbe, ba'averos Yom Kippurim gufei, tilo mechaper. So also listen to this. When does Rebbe say that Yom Kippur is not mechaper without tshuva? That's if you violated Yom Kippur itself. Yom Kippur can be mechaper for any avera, whether you did tshuva, didn't do tshuva. With one exception, if you violate Yom Kippur itself, Yom Kippur is not mechaper. So for example, I eat on Yom Kippur. Listen to this great chap. Yom Kippur is mechaper for everything. Fantastic. What time is lunch? Right? What time is lunch? Let's sit down, have a little lunch, and it's okay. It's okay. Why? Yom Kippur is mechaper. It's fantastic. So the Gemara says, it must be that even Rebbe, who holds that Yom Kippur is mechaper for everything, must agree that when you violate Yom Kippur itself, that Yom Kippur can't be mechaper for Yom Kippur. Like that's the one exception to the rule. He says, why? This is incredible. T'ilo temahachi, karis t'yom kippurim l'rebi, kevon de'bechol shayte v'shayte mechaper, heichim ishkachos lo. Because I will say, remember again, if that was true, that Yom Kippur can be mechaper for everything, even Yom Kippur itself, then what? There's no such thing as an iser karis for eating on Yom Kippur. Why? Because right after you finish eating and you bench, of course, everybody benches after eating Yom Kippur, right? Then what happens? You go ahead and Yom Kippur is mechaper. Yom Kippur is mechaper afterwards. So obviously, I will say it must be that even Rebbe who holds that Yom Kippur is mechaper for everything, must be that violation of Yom Kippur is the exception to Yom Kippur. I will say, but I just want to show you something amazing. Do you see how incredible? Well, let's see. Let's go on. I just want to point out that there's a havamina that Yom Kippur could be mechaper for Yom Kippur, right? I mean, the Gemara is having this discussion. Maybe Yom Kippur is mechaper for everything, including violation of Yom Kippur. Do you see what a gift, how much Kadosh Baruch Hu loves us? Where else do you see a concept like this? Where else do you see a concept like this of such unrestrained forgiveness? Forgiveness that literally we have to speak about. There's a havamina. Maybe Yom Kippur is mechaper for itself. Maybe a Jew who eats on Yom Kippur, the day itself, who else has HaKadosh Baruch Hu that loves them so much? Who else has a gift like this? Like, where do you even see such a demonstration of divine love? Well, maybe not. What's the question? I'm really in big trouble with this daf. Mamish, right? Big trouble. Okay, fine. So I'll say, no, I'll give you the example. Maybe there is a case. Dilma davidita kule layla, ubahade amudia shachar mis. Maybe the case is like this. I could set up a case of where I worked all night. This is Yom Kippur night. I worked all night. Right? I didn't finish up. But I had to finish up at the office. I go into the office after Kol Nidre. Everybody has to dive in Kol Nidre. Right? I work the whole night. So we'll say, in that case, then what? And that person died in the morning. So we'll say, what ends up happening? That Yom Kippur itself never has the ability to atone for such an individual. The Gemara assumes that the atonement power of Yom Kippur comes when? By day. Ki bayom hazeh yechaper aleichem. The Gemara will see this. The Gemara is understanding the yom in quite a literal way. So the Gemara says, Teinach kares delayla, kares di imam heichem mishkach asla. We'll say, how can you ever find a daytime example of this? Watch this. So my kushya, Dilma bahadi de ka'achal nama chanak se umsa umis. Maybe the case of Osai is where what? A person is eating on Yom Kippur, and literally again, they choke and die. Now, what's interesting enough, what the Gemara is suggesting over here is that halacha l'maisa, in order for Yom Kippur to be mechaper, what has to happen? There has to be like a few moments of daytime. a few moments of daytime to be able. So in this case over here, where the person ate, choked, and died, there was never a moment where they weren't eating for Yom Kippur. To be mechaper, inami de avad avidite samach lishkias achama. Or a person was doing malacha on Yom Kippur, right, and they did it right from the end of Yom Kippur into Matzah Yom Kippur. So there was never a point at the end of Yom Kippur where they were that malacha. Inami bahadi de avad avidita paske mar lesake umis. The lahavile shus to be imam lechaperle. Arbo say that possibility is what person was doing farming work, and what happens as they're farming? It's quite a dramatic example. They cut off their leg, die as a result, and therefore again there was never a moment where they weren't doing work for the day to be mechaper. So they both say the point thing we're making over here is you could see even if you hold that the day of Yom Kippur itself is so strong that it could ultimately be mechaper even for violation of Yom Kippur itself. Even that would require some moments of the day post-prohibited act in order to go ahead and violate. It will say, the Rambam paskins, of course, that Yom Kippur is mechaper for what he calls averos kalos, small averos, even without tshuva. Small averos, even without tshuva. Small averos usually means things that don't carry with them an onesh of misa. So Yom Kippur wipes out your averos kalos even without any type of tshuva. For averos chamuros, right, which are generally more significant averos, or misa, kares, then ultimately again Yom Kippur, together with tshuva, have the ability to go ahead and affect atonement. The Rambam does have a category of more significant averos, where ultimately again you need tshuva, Yom Kippur, misa, yisurin for more averos chamuros. But again, I can't tell you enough. The fact that the Gemara discusses these ideas about the power of Yom Kippur being able to wipe out averos in general, even a violation of Yom Kippur, just gives you a window into the profundity of this day. Weiter. V'chom do af megadev. V'chom si abosei even megadev. Abosei, remember again, megadev is the one who blasphemes, who curses HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Mishnah said, the Chachamim say that even the Megadef ultimately, again, is included in this. Now, included in what? Let's see. So, my Afa Megadef, Rabbanan Shamli Rabbi Akiva, Datani Balov, Velotani Yedoni. So, we'll say, sir, the Rabbanan heard Rabbi Akiva giving his drasha that we saw a couple of days ago, that Dafka, an Ov, is subject to a Chatas obligation, or a Kares obligation, and not Yedoni. Amrulei Maishna, Delo Maisi Karban, Mishum Deles Be Maisa. Why is it that the Yedoni doesn't bring a karban? Ultimately, again, because he has no maisa. Megadef nami less be maisa. And the Rabbanan said also the Megadef, the one who curses HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because there is no maisa, there's just a verbal articulation. Therefore, what? Therefore, Allah Chala Maisa, he doesn't bring a chatas and is also not subject to curse. Ten Rabbanan. Megadef may be karban. So the Bryce says Megadef brings a karban. Why? Hoil v'ne'am arbo kareis to Rabbi Akiva. Because since it says kareis by the Megadef, therefore, what? He brings a carbon as well. For Omer, Devi Rabbi Akiva. Omer, Chato Yisa. Uklalu, is that true? That is a general principle. Kolhecha de Kasev ve Kares Maisi carbon. Wherever the Torah lists Kares, that you have to bring a carbon. Vaha Pesach Umila Dixiv Bu Kares. Velo Maisi carbon. I'm also bringing the example of carbon Pesach and Mila, where Kares is stated, right? If you don't bring a carbon Pesach, you don't do Bris Mila. Carbon, excuse me, Kares is stated, yet what? Failure to perform these things does not generate chatas liability. Amud beis, hachi karban. This is what it means to say. Megadef may be karban, hoil uba bo karis. Bemakom karban de Rabbi Akiva. So Megadef brings a karban, why? Because since, again, this is changed, to uba to v'ne'emar. Since ultimately, again, karbanic liability is mentioned by karis, therefore, ultimately, again, he brings a karban. Kasavar migo debay michtav karis ba'alma, because Rabbi Kiva holds like this. Since ultimately, again, the karis of Megadef could have been written elsewhere, uksiv karis b'makom karban, but yet it chooses to state his obligation of karis right by the karban, shma mina maisi karban. Rabbi Kiva learns that the Megadef does bring a karban. So we'll say, according to Rabbi Akiva, accidental Megadef brings a karban chatos. The Chacham and the Mishnah are arguing. The Chacham and the Mishnah are saying, since Megadef does not have a Maisa, therefore what? He does not bring Karban. V'omer chet o Yisa. The Pasuk says, he shall bear his iniquity, he shall bear his chet. Asa, Asan, changes it to the Rabbanon. But so that goes granted to the Rabbanon, who say that what? V'achikam Rabbi Kiva the Rabbanon. And this is what Rabbi Kiva is saying to Rabbanon. Anisa Megadif Les Be Maisa. So Rabbi Kiva says, Rabbana Arn, you hold that Megadif doesn't have a Maisa. So Mahu Megadif, what is Megadif, by the way? Mevarech Es Hashem. It must be one who curses the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Elakaris Tichsev Lamai Asa. So ultimately, again, the Karis that is mentioned by, what is it coming to teach us? Amri Vei Litein Karis Lemekalel. We'll say it's actually coming to go ahead and give Karis ultimately to what? To the Mekalel. To the one who curses the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Tichsev Mekalel. Cheto Yisa Ishahu. Uksif Esach Sheni. Cheto Yisa. Ma'alahalon Karis Af Kan Karis. So it's just like by Pesach Sheni, the Lashon over there is by Karis, so to buy the Mekalel, the obligation is Karis. Tan Rabbanon, Es Hashem Hu Megadif, he is cursing HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name. Isi Ben Yehuda Omer, Ka'adam HaOmer LeChavero, but say one who curses HaKadosh Baruch Hu is like one who says to his friend, Girafta Kara V'Chisarta, not only have you emptied the plate, but you broke the plate. So we'll say, one who curses HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not only is he bereft of mitzvos, but what? He's mamish broken the plate, right? It's bad enough to clear off the plate, to take all the contents off, but to break it renders it unusable. Kasavar Megadev Mecharef Mevarech Es Hashem. He understands that Megadev ultimately, again, is one who is cursing HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Lozman Azariah Omer, Ke'adam Omer L'chaveir Girafta Kara V'lo Chisarta. He says it's like one who says to his friend, you emptied the plate, but you did not diminish the plate. Kasavar Megadev Hainu Ovid Avod Zara. Well, so this is actually very interesting. You saw this thing machlokes as to what is Megadev. So heals Megadev, Rabbi Osei, is one who worships idolatry. Rabbi Osei, interestingly enough, according to this approach, worshiping idolatry is not as bad as cursing the name of God. Cursing the name of God is committing an avera that goes to the core of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's identity. That's like clearing off the plate and breaking it. Avodah Zarah is bad, of course. But again, ultimately, that's like clearing off the plate, right? The metaphor is, the mitzvahs fill the plate, you're clearing off the plate. But what? You're not breaking the plate itself. Tanya Idach, Es Hashem, Rabbi Eliezer ben Azariah Omer, Ba'ovid Avodah Zarah Kosov Medaber. V'charm lo ba'kosov elalitin kareis l'mevarech Hashem. So we'll say, so the sugya ends off with a fundamental machlokes, ultimately about what? About halacha l'maisa, the definition of the prohibition of Megadev, which is really quite interesting. Is Megadev cursing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what we call Mevarech Es Hashem, it's a euphemistic term, or is Megadev ultimately, again, worshipping Avodah Zarah? Find that sub-machlokes is embedded in the fundamental machlokes of Rabbi Kiva and the Rabbana, namely, Halacha L'maisa, is there a karbonic liability for Megadev or not? Machlokes Rabbi Kiva and the Rabbana. I'll both say just one more minute. Yesh, you know what, actually, we'll stop over here for today. What I'm going to do is I'm going to record from this Mishnah and Mirat Hashem to the next Mishnah so that we have a fighting chance for tomorrow's daf. My apologies for not making it the way through, but okay, Mirat Hashem, we'll get there. So correct. So the difference would be in the verbiage that is employed. Correct. Yeah.
In the time of the Beis Hamikdash, where you had the Tzar Mishkan, it would just be for two weeks.